Welcome to Uncle Porn Podcast. This is a 30-ish minute podcast created by Darius Watkins and Ryan Thomas. We are two black males discussing the intersections between faith and culture. So sit back, relax, get comfortable with us for the next 30-ish minutes while we chop it up about faith, current events, culture, and whatever else comes up.
All right, so everybody, we are back for season 6 of Unconformed Podcast. We are super excited to be back in the recording process, you know, back in the studio, quote unquote, even though we're not in studios for real. We just in rooms, having discussions.
I'm in a studio.
You in a man cave, studio. But you know, it is what it is. It's your boy Ryan. That's Darius. And man, look, we calling this season what, LeBron?
Nah, we calling it season 6.
Six rings.
Yeah, 6 rings. You know, Jordan. Jordan season. I'm cool.
Jordan
with that.
Season. Yeah, yeah. Jordan season. Jordan come season. On.
I'm with that.
I know I tried Drake. Yeah. You ain't want to do Drake. No, you ain't want to do Drake, man. We can't do Drake.
Hey, you the one who said he not the light skinned legend no more. So I thought I was doing you a favor by not doing Drake.
Yeah. So we can't rock with my guy. He on suspension right now after that album.
This man said suspension. But,
yeah, man. So man, how things been with you, man? I guess we're going to do a little check-in about highs and lows. You know, been gone for a little minute, so just a couple of highs. We'll share some highs and we'll share some lows, yeah. And we'll get into our topic.
Yeah, and the date is September 11th, to be clear. The date is September 11th, so if we miss some, it's just because it's September 11th, and it probably happened after that. But you know, highs, I'm at a new school, new environment and stuff like that, so like that's pretty exciting. Just being there, being able to do my job the way I feel like I should be able to do my job. And then just, you know, like, another high is that folks got their student loan, or they're supposed to get their student loans forgiven up to 20K. So if you're mad about that, check your morals. If you're mad about that, I think I heard Jackie Hill Perry one time say, whatever you're angry about reveals your idols. So maybe check that out. I'm just throwing that out there. But that's a high too. So. Slight shot, but it's all good. Also, just man, just I feel like the last time we recorded was May, maybe even April. And I had like a really, really good camp season, basketball camp season. It was our best one thus far. Served over 220 kids this summer for 4 camps. And like now we got some other exciting stuff going down. I'm just ready to keep grinding with it. So like those are all highs. I could keep going, but like,
absolutely.
But like it's plenty of things to be thankful for. Joy being my wife, like always 100% a high with her. So definitely that.
Yeah, good.
But before that, I mean, enough for the highs. Let's go ahead, address the lows.
So it's the lows. Okay.
I think, and just for, again, time step, it's September 11th. And it's been like a rough couple of weeks for the city of Memphis, man. And it's just like, man, like you had a police officer get shot and chased. 2 days later, you had Eliza Fletcher, which I'm sure all you guys have heard about by this point, who was kidnapped, murdered, and potentially, honestly, likely raped. And then after that, you had the 19-year-old go on a killing spree. So, like, all those things happen back to back to back. So, like, I think that's always, like, hard. It's always mourning in that. And it's, like, finding out how to appropriately grieve in the midst of all that. So, like, it's definitely super interesting. And I think as today is September 11th, you know, like that was the one day or one of the few days where like everybody was on the same team, so to speak. And like everybody was just united. You were just trying to, especially in the city of New York, right? Like everybody was just united. And I hope that like that can come to the city of Memphis. I know it's easy to have division and whatnot, but my hope, my prayer, my optimism is that the people who are called to be here and do belong here, that they will stay, and that, you know, we'll just support one another and whatever that looks like. So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. Rest in peace to all the people we lost in Memphis. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, man, for sure. So yeah, for me, as far as my highs go, I'll put this as a high, just a career transition, man. I'm thankful in this season, God has given me the opportunity to, kind of fall back out of my regular schedule, which has always been, you know, 40-hour work week, corporate America, you know, 9 to 5. And I kind of switched up into working kind of like some part-time jobs and even like leaning toward creating my own type of business lane.
Okay.
While I seek out the income that I'm desiring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's so easy for us to take the first income that's thrown at us out of desperation or like, hey, you got to pay the bills.
Right.
But it's good when you can kind of step back and say, hey, I'm actually waiting for something a little bit more significant. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I'm going to grind and build whatever I can grind and build on my own. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's definitely been a grow having an opportunity to. Yeah.
I was going to ask you a follow up question. Like, what got you to that space where you were like, you know what? This is what I feel as if I deserve, and I'm gonna wait until I can get what I deserve. What kind of got you there?
Man, that's a good question. I think what it is just kind of like, firstly, looking at the fact that I've already been in the workforce for over 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, so my age, and I've been out of college since 2010. You know, at first, when you get out of college, you're kind of just ready to take on whatever they throw at you.
Yeah.
But at a certain point in time, you're like, man, my resume looks great. You know, I put in the work at different companies. I've gained certain experiences with certain, like how to do certain skills or like how to execute certain tasks. Mm-hmm. And so first, the confidence that I have in my own skill. Mm-hmm. But then secondly, just kind of also realizing that, hey, we'll get what we settle for. You know what I mean? If we're always settling, and that's all we'll get. And so just having the mindset of like, you know what? I would rather make less money for a time so that I can shoot for the moon. Mm. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Than to, you know, just take that little skip and hop to the mountaintop. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Instead of take, and I don't want to make it seem like, you know, a big salary should be everybody's goal. Facts, but yeah. In the season that I'm in right now, that's kind of where my head is at. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think, so. Yeah. And I think with that, like, and I know it's not my time to talk or whatever, but I think with that, like,
no, you're good.
I think that if you were to have said that like a year ago, like I may have been like, huh, I wonder why you said that. I wonder what's up, what's with that. But the fact that like,
yeah,
I feel like personally that you're in like so much healthier of a space in like multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me like receive it so much more or so much better, I guess you can say. So shout out to you for real.
Yeah, man. I definitely appreciate that. Definitely appreciate that.
Yeah.
And then, I would just say my low, would be just kind of, it's kind of tied to my high in that God's just been dealing with me with patience. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, being impatient can definitely cause a lot of like negative emotions. Mm-hmm. It's toward God, especially when you're like, God, all you got to do is snap your fingers. you ain't even got to get off the throne to give me some of this stuff. You know, all you got to do is just speak the word and it'll be so. So kind of just learning to wait on God, knowing that he has, you know, a better plan than I have, and not just doing things out of like, man, I'm ready to go. So let me just dive in and make it my own way. Since the doors ain't opening, I'm gonna kick them in, you know. And that's not like the opposite of grit. Mm-hmm. It's not the opposite of having drive, to have trust and have patience. You know what I mean? So kind of learning that balance of like being able to try to go out and get what you want, but also having patience for God to open up doors and make a way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a low. That's just, when I call it a low, I just say, you know, that's something I'm learning how to do a little bit better. Mm. And I also want to make sure we do shout out Liza as well. Her family, rest in peace to her, and condolences to her family. And the city of Memphis, we praying for the city, man. You know,
yeah,
you can only get better from here.
Facts. So, I mean, obviously so much has happened. Like, so much has happened since we last recorded. I think it's like one place we landed on, one thing we said we're going to talk about. Before we even officially start like our first topic for season 6, but that was just watching the GOAT. Serena Williams has retired. Hey. And she's one of the most decorated athletes of all time, definitely the greatest women's tennis player ever, arguably the greatest athlete ever. So it's just crazy, like, she's gone. Like, and when I say gone, I mean she's retired. She ain't dead. But
you're right.
But man,
point of clarification.
Yeah, please. But go tell me what you was thinking when you were watching Serena. Like, go at it one more time.
Yeah, man. Serena is definitely been, she has been the reason why I watch tennis. Mm-hmm. I understand tennis, why I like tennis. Her and Venus, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been watching them faithfully for 16 years. And, you know, to see her go, you know, have a match with someone who is almost half her age, you know what I'm saying? And give her the fight of her life, basically. Serena made that woman. She made her beat her, you know what I mean? And and I respect Serena because she never gives up. She always has that tenacity. She's gonna be out there yelling like a lioness. Mm-hmm. She's hitting the balls. It's like the way that she presents is so ferocious,
yeah,
but so gracious at the same time. Mm. You know, so yeah, she right now she has 23 singles titles, which is the most, more than any man. And second place of all time, mm-hmm, when she retired. If she would have won this one, then she would have tied it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. But, man, just shout out to Serena, man. I feel like she's been an inspiration. She kind of changed the game of tennis like AI changed the game of basketball, you know.
Mm.
Stylistically, you know, brought a bunch of style, the clothes she used to wear, the way she used to do her hair.
The style that she used to play.
The powerful serves. You know, and everything, man. She changed up the whole game. So, man, the game ain't going to be the same without Serena and Venus. You know, and somebody asked me, is it because they're black? I'm like, well,
yes.
Yes and no. You know, I say yes because if it wasn't for them being black, I would never have watched. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But then I say no because they're just better. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They're just better. It's not like, oh, they're black, so I'm rooting for it. It's like, no, they're just the best player in the sport is Serena Williams. So, yeah, man, I hope she enjoys her retirement and her kid, her husband. She's ready to have another kid, so she's trying to move on with her life, man. Mm-hmm. So, hats off to her.
Facts. Yeah, and I ain't gonna cap. I root for them folks because they're black. So, like, just
ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's just the truth, man. And I think that, like, I think it was so cool when they did the doubles and they lost, and you just saw like the whole stadium cheering for them, erupting and cheer. And them, I mean, Venus and Serena, obviously. But like, it was so cool to watch it because just to think, like, when they first started, they were getting booed, questioned about having beads and braids and so on and so forth.
That's right.
And now you got like a whole generation that's like rooting for you. So, like, obviously, it's cool to see, but it's also like, man, I wonder like how they felt at that moment. And you kind of already encapsulated everything that is Serena. So I'll just kind of say, like, another cool moment was seeing Tiger Woods and Serena share, like, moments, a moment at the same time. Like, because they are two black people who joined a sport that was pretty much white and other white people. And they kind of just, like, catapulted that sport to a whole nother level. Like, we wouldn't even talking about, like, live golfers making all this money if it wasn't for Tiger Woods, if we're keeping it 100. So, like, and just seeing both of them come from the same place at young ages and with two black dads that just believed in them, had faith in them in a way that nobody else ever did. It's crazy, like, the parallels in their lives. And, like, they lived up to the hype. And, like, I know people say, like, LeBron James is, like, somebody who truly lived up to the hype. But, like, they... Yeah. Are really, really like the people who lived up to the hype because they joined a sport that they were not familiar with. They were not favored. People were not rooting for them. And they just dominated from the very beginning. So,
yeah.
So it's crazy. Absolutely. It's crazy to see it from that angle. So that's the angle I take. And man, it's just like, we got to watch as a sports fan. Like, I'm like, I got to watch Tiger Woods, Venus, Serena, Kobe, Venus, LeBron, Kobe, Tom Brady,
Tom.
Like, we got Jerry Rice. We got to watch, like, all the Randy Moss. Like, we got to watch, like, all these Rafael Nadal, Michael Phelps, like, so many people. Gabby Douglas.
Gabby Douglas, and then Simone Biles.
We got to watch so many dope people, and it's like, wow, that's crazy. Yeah, man. It just blows my mind that we got to watch all these people in our lifetime.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's just wild. But yeah, and you know, like, Serena, she's leaving, you know what I'm saying, to continue her life as a mom, as a wife, and so on and so forth. Venus is still, I think she's still hanging on right now, right? Like, she hadn't retired, has she?
She hasn't retired yet, but I think it would be wise if she kind of goes on out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
before she,
yeah,
I hate to say it like that, but
yeah,
you know.
But it's like, you know, like Serena is like, you know, she's leaving to focus on her family, and Venus is single. You know what I'm saying? So it's just different. And like speaking of single, that's actually the topic today that we're gonna talk about.
Oh, transition.
Yeah. So like, shawty. In that like. There was this man in that there was an article that kind of went viral this year, probably a few weeks ago. You know, it's talking about the rise in lonely and single men, So I was like, man, this would be a dope topic to talk about. And then just like kind of give a little paraphrased article a little bit. It'll be in the show notes, by the way. So just paraphrase the article, talk about our takeaways and kind of talk about like what it means for the church. Like in relation to the article and whatnot. So the article again was entitled, The Rise of Lonely Single Men. It came to three conclusions, which is kind of funny, but the key points was dating opportunities for heterosexual men are diminishing as relationship standards rise. I feel like that may have been like a slight shot, but also like probably just some honesty in it. And then it says men represent approximately 62% of dating apps, lowering their chance of finding matches. And it said men need to address skills deficits to meet healthier relationship expectations.
So it's a lot to unpack and all that, man.
Yeah, and those are just three of them. I got notes on like three, four more. So
What are your initial thoughts on the article, man?
Man, I just thought that like it was interesting, like the language that was used, but to me also like I thought 62%, that was about right. Like 62% of men represent dating apps, and it kind of just made me think about like invasive culture that men may have sometimes, like as far as like, you know, sending inappropriate pics or something like that on social media apps and stuff like that, or just like being too forward in some cases, or not being who you say you are. And just like having some of these horror stories like come to fruition in this capacity where women don't even like want to use the app because they've had so many negative experiences or heard horror stories. So that was one of my first thoughts, was like, that sounded about right. But like a lot of men are like responsible for, or a lot of men are shooting other men in the foot. And like, but are these other men being shot in the foot holding these other men accountable for their actions? Because very, very rarely does anything happen on social media between like a male and a female, and you don't hear about it at some point. So
yeah.
So yeah, that was my first thought. What about you?
Yeah, my first thought was definitely the impact of social media, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can't be overstated, I don't think, in human relationships, how much social media has like almost rewired us.
Mm-hmm.
In certain ways.
And does social media include dating apps for you?
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't thinking about that when I first thought about it, but yeah, I think ultimately that does have play a role as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the way life has always been was men go out into the world and we are the pursuers of women, you know. So whether it be like going out to events, going out to, you know, like places where you can find, single women, or like, you know, just strategically setting out time to like get out of the house, you know, that was the way that men had to do it before social media, you know, existed. And it was usually done, you know, without scrutiny, without opinions from others, you know what I mean? Without like blasting your movements to other people, comparing your movements to other men's movements, and exchanging notes and things of that nature. So social media, I think, has changed the entire dynamic of how men go about finding these long-term relationships with women. And I think that as a result, it's changed the outcome, like what we're saying in the article, for the negative. You know, I don't think it's working. I think it's an experiment that's not going well if we're talking about the impact of social media on men having long-term relationships successfully.
Yeah.
So that was my first thought.
Yeah. And I think, like, even in relation to that, like, I'm going to use social media and not include dating apps. So that's what I'm going to do. Okay. Right now. So, like, I think that, like, dating apps, the advantage is to the woman to some capacity. Just because, like, you can't really message them or anything like that. Or a lot of times it's like some grounds that got to be set before, like, messaging or, and stuff like that. Especially, like, if you're on Bumble or whatever the case may be. So it may be more beneficial for women in some cases to use dating apps. Whereas for men, it may be more beneficial to, like, pursue relationships via social media. Just because, like, it's a lot more avenues to communicate. And it may just be a little bit easier. Whereas, like, it's probably closer to, like, 50-50. And maybe even a higher percentage than that. Because I know a lot of men who are not on social media, but I think most women I know are on social media to some capacity. So, like, that was one of the first things I was thinking. I was like, well, shoot, why would you even, like, if I was single, and like, I've never used a dating app. Like, I don't even know, like, how to start one. Or I know nothing about them. But, like, if I imagine myself being single, like, why would I use something where only 38% of the people who are on this device are women? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. That's super interesting. And then, like, I also read an article during COVID, and it was saying how women were handling COVID better because women naturally communicate with one another and share feelings and stuff like that via social media. So, like, even though you were being separated and torn apart from people and stuff like that to some capacity, like, some people still had their normal, I guess you can say, safe spaces or normal ways of communication. So I thought it was super interesting. Right. And then, like, in the article, it was actually linked that, like, younger people are actually more lonely than middle-aged people, and middle-aged people are more lonely than older people. And it hadn't been that way for, like, 30 years, at least 30 years.
Yeah, it should not be that way, right?
Yeah. And it just...
I mean, if you're just going off of, like, logic, older means you're getting closer to the end of life. So how is it that they should be the ones who are, like, dropping off? So that's interesting.
Yeah, and, like, only thing I can think of is the rise in technology and the dependence upon technology, social media, so on and so forth, for happiness. But what that ends up doing a lot of times is, in my opinion, leading to comparison to other people, other couples, whatever. So if you're a male and you're single and you're looking at all these other people who appear to be happy on social media, and that's your gauge of what happiness is, then you're probably going to be pretty lonely. You're probably going to be pretty dissatisfied with where you are. And if you're absolutely a woman and you're on social media and you're comparing yourself to other people, then, like, even if you are in a relationship, a lot of times, like, you can be dissatisfied because of how other couples or how other people project their lives via social media. So I just thought that was super interesting.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree, man. You know, comparison is the thief of joy, right? That's what they always say. And, like, I do think that I even read a social media article recently. speaking of social media, I read it was more so a post.
Okay.
And the person was basically saying that, you know, you have to be careful when you're comparing your life to other people's lives, because you can find yourself unhappy where you are because you're looking at what someone else has. But then let's say that you were to actually move yourself, you know, say your relationship, you're just staying home, paying bills, having a normal life, and you're seeing this other couple that's going to Barbados and to the islands and going to, you know, on these expensive trips.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, your contentment has become discontentment. You know, now you're like, I need to do that with my spouse. And once you've figured it out and you've made enough money and you go to the Bahamas, go to the Caribbean, then you're now moved up to the next level of comparison. And so it's a never ending ladder to climb. You know what I'm saying? If your contentment is contingent upon, you know what I'm saying, social media.
Yeah.
Instead of contentment being the person in front of you, you know, and, like, really enjoying them, getting to know them for who they are. So a lot of people are getting their relationships destroyed by comparisons. You know, I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. And then, like, just with, like, the Barbados example, like, for all you know, this couple swimming in debt, like, going on all these trips with money they may not even have. Like, you just don't know. Like, this thing about social media is, like, it just doesn't allow you to know. In that, another thing that came out of the article, I think, is that's important, is that, like, the article said that women now have higher demands for men. So I think that, like, you know, when you think about, like, the old TV shows from the 90s, 80s, 70s, like, the male of the house, like, was emotionless, kind of stupid, did goofy things. That's like these are like the people that take care of their kids when their wife are not at home, and they say, hey, I'm babysitting right now, I can't go out or whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it was just a completely different perspective and almost expectation of men then than it is now. And kind of what the article was saying is that there's less patience for poor communication skills today. The problem of men is that emotional connection is the lifeblood of healthy long-term love, and it requires all the skills that families still are not consistently teaching young boys. So when you hear that, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that there's some truth to it, definitely. And when it comes to expectation differences, I think that the article might be, because I feel like this article is like gauged at men or like, you know, pointed at men. But I think that that actually goes both ways, where you have bashing of the opposite sex. You know, bashing of the opposite sex, if you're single, it's like a coping mechanism that really doesn't lead anywhere. Like, I see it as like, you know, someone giving you 100 reasons why modern women are the reason why you're single, you know, and you're a man.
Yeah.
Or like if you're a woman and then somebody giving you 100 women reasons why men are trash and that's why you're single. You know what I'm saying? And that's like having itching ears. You know, where it's like somebody saying exactly what you want to hear. It makes you feel good. It absolves you of, you know, accountability. And now you can like dive in and like really listen to this person. Like, you know, the manosphere, where it's like, hey, fresh and fit, or rest in peace, your boy Kevin Samuels. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, they're going to sit there and they're going to tell you all of the reasons why women, modern women, are ruining modern day relationships. And if I were to just like lean in and like really absorb that information, I could leave it feeling justified. Like, hey, it's not my fault I'm single. You know what I'm saying? It's these women's fault. And on the contrary, if you're a woman and you have, you know, what's the guy, Derek Jackson, you know, or like some other woman who has a blog or something saying, hey, men are just trash. That's why. They're not stepping up to the plate, ladies. They're not doing this, queens. You shouldn't settle for this, queen. You know, at the end of the day, there could be some nuggets of truth in all of the things that I'm mentioning, but the bashing is creating more of a divide in our society as a whole. You know, it's not bringing us together. You know what I'm saying? It's actually dividing the sexes more. And I think that that plays a part into some of the expectations that may be higher that weren't, and you know, some of those expectations may actually be good and needed.
Yeah.
But we have to have discernment to figure out, hey, okay, these are good and needed, and these are just things I got from the woman's sphere or the man's sphere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think, like, cause we already kind of opened talking about Memphis, so this would be like a pretty good time to like make this analogy. I think right now there's a conversation going on, like, should I live in Memphis? Like, it's a dangerous place. Like, I don't feel like this is the place for me. And a lot of people are having that conversation, and I'm not here to tell anybody where they should live. That's not my job. Point blank, period.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that while you're here, wouldn't it make more sense to continue to pour into something instead of consistently searching for ways out or consistently complaining via social media, via whatever outlet you use to complain? Wouldn't it be better to like kind of pour into that situation versus just outwardly complaining and looking for a way out? So like in the same token, like, wouldn't it look better like for both sexes to kind of like look inwardly and see what we can fix within ourselves, see if there's any ways where we can like subtly, gracefully suggest areas of improvement for some men, because all men are not the same, first of all, whereas women are not the same. But like, wouldn't it be much wiser to work within ourselves? Because this is where God has us right now, single or in a relationship, whichever one it is. But in this case, we're talking about single, so this is where God has us right now. So wouldn't it make more sense for us to kind of work on ourselves, so we know who we are through Him, so that when lies come, when people start speaking whatever they speak on social media, when people make you a monolith, then you know it's not true, and you don't even really need to respond to it.
Yeah,
Like,
absolutely.
wouldn't that make more sense? Like, to me, it would. And I think that that's
Yeah.
something that, like, both sexes are struggling with. But I think that right now, like, this is just my personal opinion. So anybody who feels differently, get at me, let me know. But I think that right now it's a little bit easier for women to, like, publicly shame men versus, like, men
Yeah.
who do it. Now you have, like, men who have, now with that being said, that does create a desire for that, right? So that's how you get the platforms like Fresh and Fit and so on and so forth, because, like, there's a desire to hear that.
Yeah.
There's a desire to hear the opposite. In a lot of ways, that, like, that's kind of how Trump became president, because there was a desire for the opposite. Not saying it's right, wrong, right or wrong, because I'm pretty much saying it's wrong. But with that being said,
Right.
like, it would make so much more sense if we handled it that way, versus, like,
Yeah.
just the back and forth. The back and forth, going back and forth, so on and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I 100% agree, because at the end of the day, if you're like 50% satisfied with who you are as a person, as a single, like if you get married, you're still going to be 50% satisfied. You know what I mean? Like getting married doesn't fill your satisfaction levels in certain ways. You're still going to be at 50%. As a matter of fact, I would even argue that you would probably be less than 50% because of how much of yourself you have to pour into your marriage. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, what we should be doing, as someone who is like single, once again, is making sure that we're actually feeding and building up ourselves and like looking in the mirror and actually looking to Christ as well, you know what I'm saying? To receive everything that we need to receive in and of ourselves before pursuing relationships. Another thing that I think is interesting is like fear of failure, right? That's what I think I see with a lot of men as well. If we just want to go back to the men only for a moment, it's fear of failure, in that, hey, it's easier for me to just stagnate or even just sin than to have to face that fear of failure. Like on the one hand, you got some people who don't want to risk failing at another relationship, so they just rather, stay single, stay stagnated, go into their shell, just kind of quit on pursuing marriage and pursuit, so that they don't get hurt. And then on the other hand, you got people who are just like, you know what, I'd rather just have casual sex. You know what I'm saying? Than to like risk that failure of a big relationship or like something serious that could be, public shame attached to it or whatever. And so on, hey, it's either I'd rather stagnate or I'd rather just sin. If I just have one night stands, then I won't hurt myself. I won't have to risk it. But the fact of the matter is, relationships always involve risk, They always involve risk. That's the nature of the beast. And so a lot of that might come from fear, just straight up fear that these men may have.
And I'm gonna go ahead and say it is what it is. We kind of talked about, like, also, like, talking about, like, what it means for the church. I wonder, if, because I know there's a lot of criticism versus for people, like, in their 20s and early to mid 30s, like, men in the church and stuff like that, and the way they act, the way they behave, things they say, whatever the case may be. I wonder, when that same criticism, or when that criticism will be redirected to the people who are supposed to be discipling them. I wonder, like, when that becomes the case, because you can keep talking about generational things that may be trends with men and stuff like that in the church and so on and so forth. But, like, when do you get to the point where you say, like, man, we're supposed to have some Second Timothy 2:2 around here? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is supposed to be a thing. Like, what's going on? Like, if
The
these,
older
if,
man teaching the younger
yeah, like,
man.
if this is not, if these men are behaving in the capacity that a lot of you guys say it, that it's happening, like, at what point will we then bring the criticism to someone else? The people, the generation above them that's supposed to be doing this. Like, was there a gap here? Was it, like, did some people get attention that, did some people get attention just because they're cool? And, like, that led to them having a platform, so on and so forth, and you ignored all these other people. Like, is that, is there potential for that? Like, I would say yes. Because if it is as bad as some of y'all say it
Absolutely.
is, and, like, I'm slowly, emphasis on slowly, like, starting to concede in a lot of ways that, like, hey, like, some of y'all wilding. And that doesn't mean like women are not wilding at all, but that's not the topic for today. It's like some of y'all men are wilding. Yeah. Like some of y'all sending DMs you shouldn't be sending. Some of y'all doing a lot of stuff. And maybe it's just a generational difference to where the technology is so far removed from the technology that the older men grew up in that they don't even know how to address some of these issues. Maybe that's the case. But I think that like the Holy Spirit still allows you to do that. So, with that being said, like I do think that like that's what I would say, like the next question. And even in the loneliness, like why are these men so lonely? Because it's not just singleness, it's singleness and loneliness. So why are these men so lonely? That would suggest to me that like somebody who's supposed to be in their life in a mentor type space is not there. Because I know a lot of Christian men who would identify as lonely. They would like say that they feel lonely at this current time or during COVID and so on and so forth. So like at some point we do have to like kind of look at the generation above us and be like, hey man, what y'all doing? I understand you got families and whatnot. That's cool to have families. But like you still got to make time for other things.
Yeah, no, 100%. And like I think the loneliness question is great. I do think going back to what you said about the technology differences between this generation, the millennials and Gen Z, versus the guys who are supposed to be discipling them, is definitely a vast difference. And I think the rules of engagement are kind of shifting because of that. As far as how do you engage with women in a healthy way, and they kind of need to probably we need to have some type of counsel of Nasir to figure out exactly what it is that's going on. But with the loneliness question, man, I think goes back to the beginning, man. Like, you know, God said it's not good for man to be alone. Now, a lot of people have interpreted that to mean that that means you need a spouse or like a relationship romantically. But I don't necessarily think that's all that means. I think that means you need to have community around you. That meaning peers, you know, other guys, you know, women that are friends, you know, all of that together, that is good. It's not good for you to be alone. Mm-hmm. And once again, not trying to make everything the fault of social media, but social media is that thing that makes you feel like you're not alone when you actually are. You are alone, but you feel like you're connected because you're reading 100 statuses and looking at people's pictures and looking at people's lives. And you're like, oh, I caught up with them. You really didn't
at all.
You know, and there's no exchange happening. And I think that's part of what makes the loneliness that's not curing that lonely heart that they have, because there's no exchange happening because you're actually by yourself. And then, you know, even if you were to just get spiritual with it, right? Like, you know, when you look at the woman at the well, when Jesus had a conversation with her, she had had five husbands and one that she was dating when he walked up to her and started having this conversation with her. And the conversation was just about thirst. You know, the fact that she was thirsty for some water, and she was at the Jacob's well to try to get some water. And then Jesus said, hey, if you take the water I give you, then you'll never thirst again. You know, and clearly, I think there's a correlation in this about relationships and this thirst that he's talking about, because why add in the detail about her having five husbands? You know.
Yeah.
She really was lonely. You know, that was a loneliness conversation. It was about loneliness. Like, she really out here trying to find satisfaction. That's why she jumping from man to man. And Jesus basically saying, hey, look, I got the cure for your loneliness, but it's me. I'm the cure for your loneliness.
Yeah.
So I think what it really boils down to is people don't, like, bro, it's hard for people to believe that Jesus, who's invisible, can cure their loneliness. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard for them to believe that a person who doesn't have flesh and blood and bones, and you can't like hug them, you can't touch them. So how can you cure my loneliness? That's actually the only answer that's given to us about deep-seated loneliness. The cure for loneliness is to be alone with Jesus Christ. So I think at the end of the day, there's a few things working. You know, you got the practical issues that we have with social media taking away people. Like, I think the reason why family reunions don't happen as much is because of social media.
Oh,
I mean, I really think, like, you know, we was growing up, everybody wanted to get together. They want to see each other. They want to take pictures. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, yo, we don't got to do that no more. We got social media. We can just type their name in and see what they've been up to. We feel like we caught up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. So,
and it, I think that, like, even
that aspect of things.
And I think that in relation to that, like, just you see people posting wild stuff, you're like, I don't even want to be around this person. Or just stuff you, like, strongly disagree with, you're like, I ain't even trying to mess with these folks. I ain't know y'all was rocking like that.
I don't even want
to
see
that. Yeah. So.
Yeah. You're 100% right. You know, so it's a lot of things, you know, secretly prejudging people and all that kind of stuff, man. It goes deep. But at the end of the day, man, like, it boils down to a matter of trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's also say this too before I get to the trust thing. Like, singleness is not necessarily bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I know we've been talking about it as if it's something that needs to be cured.
Yeah, Paul said, if you can be single. It's better than being married. Almost, that's kind of what he said. If you can resist, then be single. That's but if you can't, if you like the thing or the. I probably shouldn't have said that. But if you like that, then, like, hey, go ahead and get married, because that's what he said.
Yeah. So. If you're burning up inside and you ain't got no self-control, then you definitely need to get married.
Yeah. King Darius version.
But I think, but, you know, like, ultimately, it's just like the way that you perceive singleness that determines whether or not it's good or bad to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, if you believe that singleness is a negative thing, then you'll color everything about it with that negative lens. But if you believe it's a time of fulfillment, then you'll thrive and you'll prosper in your singleness. So, like, just want to encourage everybody, you know, singleness is not bad. Pray to God that everybody's able to be fulfilled in their relationship with God during that singleness. They can learn about themselves, you know, get emotionally healthy, physically healthy, mm-hmm. spiritually healthy
mm-hmm.
before trying to dive into a relationship. Because like I said, 50% fulfillment going into a relationship, you're going to be at that same level when you started.
Mm.
Okay, it's not gonna double because you got a wife or somebody else with you. But like, I would just say trust, though, man. Like, ultimately, do we actually trust that as singles, do we actually trust that Christ is sufficient to satisfy or not?
Yeah.
You know, because if we trust it, then we'll pursue that satisfaction via Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Not via other things,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's really what it boils down to, man. We do have to, like, kind of get to the base of Christianity, which the base level is we have a relationship with Jesus, and that relationship is satisfying to us, you know. And the thirst that we have, like, what does thirst look like on social media, bro? Thirst traps. That's what thirst is on social media, a thirst trap. What is a thirst trap?
It varies from person to person.
It could be anything, right? Yeah, it could be anything. Yeah. Like for some guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I'm going to take this. My profile picture is going to be this pool pic now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Shirtless, you know what I'm saying? Basketball shorts. It's like,
oh, wow.
You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? You know why you posted it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can play dumb, like, nah, that's just, you know, whatever. But really, it's a thirst trap. Same thing for women, you know, what does it look like? You know what I'm saying? Posting with a little more body showing than usual, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to attract what it is that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the actions of somebody who doesn't trust God with their singleness.
Mm-hmm.
That's more so the actions of someone who's operating out of their flesh, trying to make some things happen. Because they don't believe God got nobody good for them, so they got to go snag them,
mm-hmm.
you know. So,
yeah,
so many different conversations,
yeah,
that we can have.
About and I think that at some point, we as a Christian society has to, like, get out of the mindset that, like, or stop, like, creating, whether you're doing it subtly or just verbally, but you got to stop creating expectations that people are going to be married with kids by the time they're 25. A lot of times it's just not realistic, and it's becoming increasingly more normal to, like, not be married, like, when you're, like, 30, 35, so on and so forth. So, like, at some point we'll just have to, like, get out of those habits that kind of leads to, like, the feelings of loneliness. Because the truth is, like, when you get married, you will have so much less time to be with your community. If you're like truly focused upon like your marriage and like other things, it'll just be that much harder. So at some point we do have to like get out of that mentality. I know it's easy to say like we are, but I think in a lot of ways we're not. So like that, that's definitely like room for improvement, man. But I hope y'all enjoyed this. Oh yeah. One more thing I want to say about that. You talked about being 50% satisfied with yourself. I would say if you are 100% satisfied with yourself, like while you're single, then that's going to be a red flag when you're married. Just because like you feel pretty confident in yourself, and marriage will be the one place or one of the few places where you will be on full display, all your flaws, and they will be called out. So like, I would just caution you in that capacity too. Season 6, man, first episode, man, we hope y'all enjoyed it. If you have not done so already, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Music. You can also do the same thing on Spotify. When I say Apple Music, I mean Apple Podcasts. But you can also do the same thing on Spotify Podcasts. And man, subscribe if you have not done so. Subscribe to the YouTube link. It is in the description. And also go ahead and follow that Facebook and Instagram page. We would greatly appreciate that. And that helps us a lot more than you recognize.
Yeah, absolutely. And leave us some comments too about singleness. What are your thoughts? What do we leave out? You know, we want to get as much feedback as we can about this conversation.
And we do.
Thanks for listening, people.
Yeah, appreciate y'all, man. Season 6, we out.